This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
Enterprise BizBytes, presented by Allianz Malaysia.
Good afternoon, folks, and welcome to Enterprise BizBytes. My name is Rich Bradbury. I'm joined in the studio today by...
Arvind Yuvraj.
Welcome back, you prodigal son, you.
How
are you?
Hello, hello.
It's been a while, my friend.
Yeah, how are you?
I'm very well, I'm very well. Of course, it is Monday, the 21st of February at 2022, 12:06 here in the studio. What have you been up to then, Arv?
Watching stuff over the weekend.
Uh-huh. Anything interesting?
Uncharted. Saw that yesterday.
Uh-huh. When's the review for that coming out?
It's coming out on Wednesday.
All right.
Mm-hmm. Popcorn Culture, 7:30 p.m.
Okay. Folks, today, a bit of a discussion. Now that we're in the endemic phase of COVID, there's a chance that at least someone that you know has at some point contracted it. And during that period, how did their employer support them? And if they're a freelancer, what rights do they have and their client have when it comes to finishing any ongoing contracts? And now, last week, whilst browsing some of my news sources, I came across an article called "I Almost Lost My Job Because I Was COVID Positive." You know, almost a clickbaity title, but it made me click it, obviously.
Yeah.
And with a headline like that, it kind of makes you stop and read it. And I was thinking, surely in times like this that we're living in, no employer in their right mind would be this harsh. But then I also thought about how our economy is transitioning these days. And one thing is for sure, there's a lot more freelancers and a lot more gig workers than there used to be. How would something like this affect them? What are their rights, and who would they need to deal with if an employer were not upholding these rights?
So first, I'm going to read this article, like that article that you found, but I'll leave the author's name out of it for now. So if you want to know who wrote the thing, then there'll be a link in the podcast that goes up after our show. So it starts by saying that we are sorry about you getting COVID, but it is either you complete the assignment by the given deadline, or we will need to terminate the contract. These were the exact words from the executive when I asked for an extension after getting tested as a Cat 2 COVID positive patient recently. I truly understand the need to honor the contract that was signed, but the fact that there was no lenience in accommodating a COVID patient who is experiencing symptoms and require proper rest was startling to me.
Continuing through this letter, then it struck me if many others would have gone through the same throughout the pandemic, especially considering possible long COVID complications. Based on an article published by ASME and Associates, the guidelines for handling disease-related issues, including COVID-19 at workplaces, issued by the Labour Department of the Ministry of Human Resources, Malaysia has stated that should an employee be placed under quarantine by a certified medical practitioner, they must be paid the full salary and their quarantine period cannot be deducted from their annual leave. However, there's limited information on the rights of freelance workers during COVID-19.
Mm-hmm. So provided that the regulation on quarantine is being changed frequently, there is no proper guideline on the employment rights of freelance workers, and this gives autonomy to the employers to take actions that they deem right. So in addition, the recent announcement that COVID patients of Category 1 and 2A, except high-risk and over 60, do not need to report to COVID Assessment Centre, or CAC, could place a limitation on employees exercising their rights as per the guideline above. It also adds that the pandemic, which started in 2020, has caused over 100,000 people to lose their jobs in our country, and as a result, there are more self-employed people and freelance employees who work on a contract basis now. I think this includes gig workers as well, right?
Yeah.
However, their rights related to COVID-19 situations, let it be leave for quarantine or extension of deadlines for projects, are not as clear as it is for full-time employees, and even if there is any, they have not been communicated well to the public yet.
So this gives an advantage to the clients or employers to pressure the employees to deliver even when they are down with COVID-19, especially when they work remotely. This could certainly leave an emotional and health impact on these employees. Getting COVID-19 will already be an emotional turmoil for them, given that self-isolation and the potentially long recovery period in some cases causes anxiety. Potential loss of income during the period of quarantine is yet another worry that hampers down on them, and burdening them further with deadlines will not benefit them in terms of health.
And following high vaccination rates, there have been fewer patients in categories 3, 4, and 5. However, there is an increased number in category 2, which is COVID positive with mild symptoms. And having experienced it myself, says the author, the recovery period can be relatively longer than a common cold. In this case, sufficient rest and proper support are needed for the patients to recover sooner, and subjecting them to more stress is not going to yield a better outcome. Mm-hmm. It also adds on that the pandemic has changed a lot of things for us, especially in terms of social and economical aspects, but there are just as many vague regulations because the situation is so dynamic and the changes are happening so rapidly. I was lucky enough to have been able to get back on my feet and complete the assignment and consequently save my job, but what about those that fail? Something to ponder and act upon. Beyond everything, perhaps a little empathy goes a long way.
Yeah. Now, as we mentioned before we started reading that, that of course is one person's account of what happened to them when they did contract COVID and how they had to deal with employment issues. Mm-hmm. And there are people out there who have contracted COVID and their kind of response and their experience is completely different. If you have had an issue that's completely different, an experience that's completely different, we'd like to hear from you. Let us know via WhatsApp if you want, 018-789-8899, or get us on Twitter. We are at BFM Radio. And obviously there's different variations along this story. Some of the freelancers or gig workers, as I said, will have had different experiences. On a kind of personal level, friends, colleagues, family members, have you had people that contract COVID, and how have their employees dealt with it?
So for me, I have known a couple of friends, a few friends who have got COVID. Mm. They all work, I wouldn't say like a 9-to-5, but they are all full-time employees.
Yeah.
So I don't know anyone who's a freelancer or a gig worker who has had COVID, who has had to give up their daily earnings, or have had to let their client know that they can't produce something by a deadline because they need to rest or need to recover. But it would be interesting to know if there's anyone in that space who has not been able to do something that was promised to a client because of something like COVID.
Yeah.
Like, what do you do then? What do you do when you're quarantined for like 2 weeks?
Yeah.
You can't leave the house and you're trying to recover for yourself. Like,
you need money.
And you need money. So yeah. What happens when there's so much vagueness? Right? I mean, that goes back to what the article is saying, I guess.
Excellent. Now, after the break, we're going to be learning some of the answers to those questions. We're going to be hearing from a company that deals with a lot of workers, GoGet, and a lawyer who might help you to deal with a COVID-19 freelancing problem. We're going to be joined by the co-founder of GoGet, Francesca Chia, and Jason Chong is a senior associate from Thomas Phillip Advocates and Solicitors. We've got some questions regarding this topic to ask them and how a situation like this might affect the GoGetters, their customers, and those of you who might also be a freelancer as well. So make sure you do stay tuned. Don't forget those numbers for WhatsApp, 018-789-8899. For WhatsApp, Twitter, just get us at BFM Radio. We're going to take a short break, some music from the Beatles with a little help from my friends. We'll be right back. BFM 89.9, the business station.
Stay tuned to Enterprise Biz Bytes, presented by Allianz Malaysia.
Be firmly motivated. BFM 89.9.
Enterprise Biz Bytes, presented by Allianz Malaysia.
Welcome back, folks, to Enterprise Biz Bytes. I'm Rich Bradbury in the studio with
Arvind Viraj.
We're talking to you today, ladies and gentlemen, about how we're in an endemic phase of COVID. Of course, there's a chance that at least someone that you know has contracted it. And during this period, how did their employer support them? And if they're a freelancer, what rights do they and their client have when it comes to finishing any ongoing contracts? We're talking to you about this because we saw an article last week about this. If you want to know more about that article, there will be a link in the podcast that goes up very shortly after the show. But we wanted to know where things stand legally, and also from a position, if you are an employer or somebody who hands out these kind of contracts, what kind of situation does it put you in? Now, on the phone with us, we have a couple of people. We have Francesca Chia and Jason Chong. Francesca is the co-founder of GoGet, where Jason Chong is a senior associate for Thomas Phillips Advocates and Solicitor. Of course, we do have some questions. And I suppose the first question is, Francesca, I'll aim this at you first. Let's say a freelancer or a gig worker gets COVID whilst they're in the middle of a job or an assignment and can't finish what they're working on. What consequences might this have for them?
So in our case, we have a community principle which really focuses on staying transparent in communication. And in this SOP, especially with COVID, one of the SOPs that we have championed within our community is to simply let actually the user, such as the job poster on our platform, or the receiver know that something has arisen. Specifically in this case, it's actually that they found out that they have COVID. So the first thing is actually to stay calm and communicate. And they are allowed to do this via a phone call, which obviously is contactless, and to let them know, hey, this is what's happened. The second thing is we do have also a way that the go-getters are able to tell the platform, which is GoGet, that this has happened as well, because we do need to enact some of the SOPs that we have to execute whether or not we can trace when he or she really was infectious. So once we get the report that they was positive or PCR test positive, we will actually figure out where they contracted it and if that was during the time frame of other jobs. So we have an SOP to do some backtracking on any other people that he or she may have been in contact with during the risk period. And we have transparent communication to, and it's our responsibility to provide that information to our community and anyone involved. And in the last 2 years, there has been very small number of cases. But when that happened, we do reach out to all the relevant parties and we do inform them about this information. We obviously apologize for any inconvenience caused, but in this case, it's always about being honest and doing the right thing and communicating anything that we can and working with anybody that needs any information. So this is what happens. In terms of consequences, we do not perform any, you know, penalties in this case. So they would, we just kindly ask them to actually return home or to their quarantine center as soon as possible. And we will have to do the remaining part of the job replacement on our side if that is required, and to manage the expectation on any of the other people who are impacted.
Okay. Thanks for that, Francesca. Now, Jason, can we hear from it from a kind of legal standpoint, I guess?
Hi everyone, this is Jason Cheong from Thomas Phillip. So first and foremost, it is necessary for us to determine the nature of the relationship. The law identifies two types of relationship. First is contract of service. Second is contract for service. So contract of service is a typical employee and employer relationship and is protected under the Employment Act 1955. So Section 2.1 of the Employment Act defines contract of service as an agreement where both parties agree to an employer-employee relationship. So then once it is a contract of service, it will entitle parties to the benefit and rights under the Act. But if it's contract for service, an example is when a freelancer is providing a service to someone else, so the relationship is a promisor and promisee. So the form of relationship would be governed under the Contracts Act 1950, as well as a clause that is stipulated under the contract itself. However, when we want to determine the relationship between the parties, the court will not only rely on to the label, but also look into the substance of relationship. There are a few tests that are applicable. First is whether or not the degree of control that has been exercised by the client over the freelancer. Second is the degree of independence that the freelancer has when it comes to doing the work. Third is whether or not that work itself is an integral part of the company. Or fourth is whether the freelancer or the worker solely depend on the job for survival, or there are other forms of employment that may be undertaken simultaneously. For example, if that particular job is my side income job, so I am considered a freelancer, so that is a contract for service and not contract of service. One of the main problems we always come across when it comes to freelancer would be because there is no contract for it, or there's no black and white, we always say. So bear in mind that a freelancing contract does not necessarily mean on a piece of paper. It can also be by way of email trail or even WhatsApp conversation and other forms as well, as long as there is an agreement between parties as to what's the scope of work, the payment term, and so on and so forth. But in situation where a freelancer gets COVID-19, where they are amidst of completing the work itself, but they can't finish what they have contractually agreed upon. So what can a freelancer do? Okay, so first is that maybe, you know, if the contract provides for a force majeure clause, so the freelancer can invoke the force majeure clause. So in essence, the force majeure clause will excuse the party from their contractual obligation, but this force majeure clause can only be invoked if it is included in the contract itself. The effect itself is that there will be a suspension of the contractual obligation, exclusion of liability for the non-performance or delay, and third will be the termination of the contract itself. If the force majeure clause is not included in the contract itself, under the Contracts Act 1950, Section 57 provides for a doctrine of frustration, whereby the doctrine of frustration is defined as a change in circumstances that has rendered the contract impossible to perform. So frustration can only be raised whereby, number one, the underlying event is not at the fault of any party. Second, the event occurred after the formation of the contract and was not foreseeable. And number three, it has become commercially impossible to fulfill the obligation as set out under the contract, or it changed the nature of the contractual obligation from what was initially agreed upon under the contract itself. So then what can happen if someone invoke this structural frustration is that someone can terminate the employment contract.
Mm-hmm. Francesca, so has GoGet been in a situation like this, and how did you deal with it?
GoGet has been in this situation, and I think quite similarly as the first question, what happens, right? So in this case, the go-getter has informed and filled out the form to say that they have been tested positive and they were on a job at that point. So when that happens, what we first do is we verify the statement by actually collecting the PCR test results to ensure that we're not spreading false information first. So the first step is validating that case. And all that is just for the go-getter to provide that information through the PCR test form results. So once that happens, we actually do a backtracking of all the jobs that were involved during the risk period, and we have the job history of our go-getters. So we immediately perform that and we make a list of all the involved parties. And from there, we have a communication piece that we provide to the parties that were involved to let them know about this case, right, and potential exposure. In this case, what happens is we also provide a contact line if they need any more further information. One of the main things, of course, is since COVID, we have enacted contactless delivery. So ideally, if the SOPs were executed in place, there should not have been any contact involved in deliveries. However, GoGet does have non-delivery type of work, such as waiters and servers or picking and packing in a warehouse. And these do involve them taking a temperature check at the door, and it also involves them showing that they're vaccinated. So before they can start any jobs, they would have to show the vaccination screen and also that they are temperature within the range. And so if they do enact, if they do contract COVID during that period and they think that they were infectious in that period, we still will communicate this. Thankfully, we haven't had an instance where it was involved in a job where they were physically present for a long period of time with others. One of the things that we have experienced more is actually not that the go-getter has done it in the middle of, has gotten COVID in the middle of a job, but we've experienced more instances where it could be a merchant or a user that has told us that their restaurant had a case and they've had to shut down and they had to inform us about it. And so what we do in those situations also is that we will run through their historical jobs on the day of that case and communicate and share that to our go-getters who did any jobs for them during the risk period as well, and tell the go-getters to monitor themselves, to immediately get tested, home tested if possible. During the times where home test wasn't possible, it was to quarantine and stay at home immediately to if they felt unwell. And we provide a helpline if they needed any questions answered as well.
Thanks for that, Francesca. I think we're going to take a short break here. We are running out of time for this segment here. But if you want to get in touch via WhatsApp, 018-789-8899 is the number to get us on. Get us on Twitter as well. We are at BFM Radio. Let's have a short break with some music. We've got the Cardigans coming up just after these messages with My Favorite Game here on BFM 89.9.
Stay tuned to Enterprise BizBytes, presented by Allianz Malaysia.
Business-filled minds, BFM 89.9.
Enterprise BizBytes, presented by Allianz Malaysia.
Welcome back to Enterprise BizBytes. My name is Rich Bradbury. I'm in the studio with
Arvini Braj.
What are we talking about today, Arv?
We are talking about how freelancers have to go through vague sort of COVID-19 rules and what happens if they get COVID during a project.
Now, before the break, we are hearing from a couple of people, of course. Francesca Chia, the co-founder of GoGet, and Jason Chong. He's a senior associate at Thomas Phillip Advocates and Solicitors. We asked you just before the break, guys, that, you know, whether or not your company has been involved in a situation like this and how it was dealt with. Now, I want to know, like, on the flip side, does an employer or a client have the right to terminate the contract or force the worker to finish the assignment, you know, if they're a freelancer in particular? Francesca, let's hear from you first.
In GoGet, we have a community of two sites. So we have the job posters and we have the go-getters. Job posters are the people posting up the jobs and requesting for the service. And go-getters are the people who are doing the jobs. So the question is around whether or not the job posters have the right to terminate or force the go-getter to finish a job. So in our case, we do not have any instance where there's always 100% right over one user in the community. What we mean by that is every job in the platform is always built where we are here to protect our users in times of need, as well as in areas that are really important for us to support them in. And so, for example, if a go-getter gets into an accident while being on the job, our priority is to ensure that the go-getter's safety is adhere to, and we are taking all actions to support that first before the completion of the job. And in any situations like that, once we have attended to the go-getter, we will kick in the second process, which is to ensure the job gets done with a replacement. Now, that means how we treat COVID, it's very similar to how we think about go-getters getting into an accident, because it's something that wasn't planned by the go-getter. It wasn't initiated or done in a way so that he gains any incentive for contracting COVID and therefore not completing the job. Therefore, in this case, it's really out of the hands of the worker. And as a platform, one of our pillars is to ensure we build a platform that is safe for them, and building a platform that really protects our go-getters in times of need and doing the right thing is really key.
Does an employer or client have the rights to terminate the contract? Yes, either under force majeure or frustration. Whether or not an employer or client can force the worker to finish the assignment, actually, it really depends on the contract itself, and that it really depends on the terms itself. But then you must also remember that the freelancer can depend on force majeure as well as frustration to frustrate the contract itself.
Mm-hmm. So is there, you know, following up from that, is there any leniency when a situation like this arises?
Because we treat this like a go-getter has gotten into an accident, we kick in the SOP of first checking in with the go-getter and seeing how he or she is, and then attending to the job consequences that we actually need to attend to as a platform, i.e. we have to manage the expectation of the job poster, we have to ensure that the job poster is aware of the situation, and we have to ensure that all parties are also involved, that were involved are also communicated and being given the necessary information. So there's definitely no penalization that happens onto a worker. Therefore, I wouldn't say it's extra leniency that should be applied. I think here, even on the get-go, we're already thinking of this as a situation as similar as someone getting into an accident.
Mm-hmm. And Jason, can employers take legal action against freelancers who cannot complete their contractual obligation? And for those employers who do, what seems to be the most common outcome of such cases?
Actually, it depends on the nature of relationship. So if that particular freelancer is an employee under the definition of the Employment Act, so action can be taken through the Employment Act or through the employment contract in the industrial court. So if it is under the freelancers whose rights fall under the Contracts Act itself, so the client can take legal action in court if it can be proven that there has been a breach of the contract itself. So then in order to establish a breach, you know, so we need to look into what are the breach, what are the facts and so on and so forth. And that whether or not there is a force majeure clause, whether or not that particular freelancer can depend on the doctrine of frustration, whether or not it is reasonable foreseeable, whether or not that particular event, COVID-19, has rendered the contract to be commercially impossible or physically impossible to fulfill. So if it is not commercially or impossible, physically impossible to fulfill, then they cannot rely on the doctrine of frustration.
Interesting stuff. Thanks for that, Jason. I think we are going to take another break. We do have a couple more questions to do when we come back. Maybe talk a little bit about some of the guidelines of, I think, when we come back.
Yep.
Right, some music coming up from David Bowie with Starman here on BFM. And if you want to get in touch, 018-789-8899. WhatsApp, Twitter is at BFM Radio. We'll be right back after these messages.
Stay tuned to Enterprise Biz Bytes, presented by Allianz Malaysia.
Be free-minded. BFM 89.9, the business station.
Enterprise Biz Bytes, presented by Allianz Malaysia.
It is Enterprise Biz Bytes. I'm Rich Bradbury. I'm in the studio with
Arvind Viraj.
Almost time for us to wrap up, of course, but we do have a couple of people still on the phone line with us. We have Francesca Chia, the co-founder of GoGet. We also have Jason Chong, a senior associate at Thomas Phillip Advocates and Solicitors. We are talking about if you found yourself in a position as a freelancer, perhaps, where you contracted COVID, how did your employer support you? And if you are a freelancer, what rights do you have as a freelancer and towards their client as well? And do you need to finish your contract and that kind of stuff? So before the break, we were speaking with Jason about whether or not an employer can take legal action against freelancers who cannot complete their contractual obligations. Mm-hmm. We've got some other stuff. I want to speak of contractual guidelines, I guess. So and this is for both Francesca and Jason. According to the guidelines for handling disease-related issues, included COVID-19 at workplaces, issued by the Labour Department of the Ministry of Human Resources, Malaysia has stated that should an employee be placed under quarantine by a certified medical practitioner, they must be paid the full salary and their quarantine period cannot be deducted from their annual leave. How does this relate to freelancers and to gig workers?
In terms of how this relates to freelancers and gig workers, I would frame this around how we think about, firstly, what gig workers and freelancers have to commit for. In platforms like GoGet, there are no minimum hours or minimum days in the month that they have to commit. And there is a lot more autonomy for the individual to choose what jobs they want to take and how often they take them. An individual could take a job once for 1 hour and then forever just not take any more jobs. Or they could be a very flexible go-getter too that does one job a month. Because they don't have a minimum requirement, this shifts the concept of what full-time employment does into something where we are an on-demand workforce platform. So just like how there are full-time commitments, in this case, there's actually an on-demand commitment. And so with the on-demand commitment, it just states that for this job specifically that you have taken, would you like to commit and do it? And if they have taken it, they get to obviously enjoy the benefits that comes with the jobs on the platform, they would also get paid. Now, in situations, though, when this happened, will they get paid nonetheless if they don't complete the job? In this case, it really is going to be a case by case for us on our platform. We do have to look at, was the job actually completed? And then he found out on the way home that he got COVID. In this case, this is something that really should be paid for because he had completed the services. Alternatively, that could be a situation where the go-getter had taken the job, but he had not started it and he had not even moved towards the location, but he just informed that he got COVID. In this case, we would say that he wouldn't get paid for the job because he didn't even start taking the job and moving towards it as well. So in this case, what we do is we look at the level of execution and how much of that we should really take into consideration. But ultimately, what we do as a platform is we really ask ourselves what should be the right thing and what protection can we provide to our go-getters as well as the posters to ensure that they have a good experience on the platform. And so this is what we do, right? And there are times that GoGet will then cover the cost if this makes sense and the go-getter really should be paid for the job that was done.
Jason, let's just hear from you, your opinion.
Under the guideline for handling disease-related issues, including COVID-19 at workplace, if the freelancer is not an employee under the Employment Act, so in my opinion, the guideline itself does not apply to freelancers.
Well, there you go.
Yeah, yeah. So last question, and this is for you, Jason. What suggestions would you give to freelancers and employers who are facing a predicament of such?
What suggestions that I can give to freelancers and employers who are facing a predicament would be, number one, always have a written contract, which outlines the rights and obligations of the parties. So you can draft the contract properly, and also you can make sure that, you know, those terms are being included in, especially when you know, like currently we are facing this pandemic. So it's very difficult for a freelancer to suddenly say, oh, it is not reasonable foreseeable that I will get COVID-19, because it is a pandemic, you know, where it's reasonable foreseeable that you will get COVID-19. And also that you will also need to put in the terms when it comes to force majeure, you know, frustration and so on and so forth. Not only that, it also depends on the payment term and also how much work that has been done, you know, how much payment that the freelancer is entitled to receive, and whether or not the payment will be after you completed the whole work, or can it be in stages, whether or not you're entitled to the payment if you have not completed all the work, but you've completed partially. Those are also important terms to be agreed upon when it comes to freelancing. So I would say when it comes to COVID-19 situation, it would not render the contract impossible per se, but it might cause a delay in the completion or the performance of the contract. So perhaps employers can also be more understanding. Employees can also find ways, you know, or alternatives to solve the issue. If, let's just say, you know, the freelancer gets COVID-19, maybe get someone to replace, you know, someone to do the job. Because at the end of the day, we need to balance the rights between a client as well as a freelancer. Client will expect a freelancer to complete the job. But at the same time, you know, it is also unfair for the freelancer to retain the payment and not doing the job. But at the same time also, it is also not fair if, let's just say, the freelancer have completed partially of the job but not getting paid.
Well, there you go. Arv,
yeah.
What do you think?
I think going back to what he said, that last bit about the fairness, I think that's the most important part, right? Like, especially when you get employed by a, if you have a client or someone's employed you to do something and you get COVID, it all boils down to, like, you know, how fair is it to sort of terminate their contract?
Yeah.
Especially if you can wait a few days for the thing to, you know, show up on your table.
Mm. Well, I just want to thank the author for writing that article as well. And if you want to know who it is, head over to the podcast, which will be up shortly, and you can find out more information there. Also want to thank our intern Lily for helping produce today's show. Mm-hmm. Thanks very much for helping out today, Lily. Now, if you missed any part of today's show, you can find the podcast, which will be up very shortly, over at the BFM website. You can also download the BFM app, which of course is available in the Apple App Store or Google Play. Do not go anywhere though, because coming up after the break, it is the Breakfast Grill replay. The enduring legacy of the Nokia brand is the indestructible mobile phones of the early 2000s. Do you have one of those, Alf?
I used to have one of those.
Yeah. But Nokia today has moved beyond the mobile phone business, focusing on telecommunications, technology services, and network equipment supply, where it's one of the three dominant players in the sector. On this morning's Breakfast Grill, they spoke with Datuk Muhammad Rauf Nazir, the managing director for Malaysia, Sri Lanka, and the Maldives for Nokia. That's all coming up after these messages. On behalf of myself and Arv, this has been Enterprise BizBytes. I'll be back same time, same place tomorrow. Will you be here tomorrow?
I might be.
Well, there you go. Mm-hmm. Leave us, you know, hanging.
Suspense, a bit of suspense.
And anticipation. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Music to take us to the top of the hour. It is the Ravenettes with Heart of Stone here on Enterprise on BFM 89.9, the business station.
Enterprise BizBytes was presented by Allianz Malaysia, empowering businesses to build confidence in tomorrow.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.